In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yes, indeed. Tis time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema. 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge is with us. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Oh, can't complain.
Good, good, good. Had a nice weekend, I trust.
I did. Went down to Freeport to visit my sister and brother-in-law. They just got a new puppy.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So we took Stella down to introduce her to the new puppy. Her name's Willow. She's like 8 weeks old, and she's a cockapoo. So she's just a little tiny thing.
Oh, Stella didn't eat her, did she?
No, but Stella had some concerns. the puppy just sort of following her around and occasionally jumping up and just like nose right in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Stella's not super jazzed about
right. That
sort of thing.
Who would be?
In other news, we learned that Stella can climb ladders.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Sheridan was up in a little like play fort. Swing set situation with my niece Cora, and Stella was concerned. Sheridan got down. Apparently, Stella thought that Cora needed rescuing because Sheridan turns around and Stella was like up in the thing. Up was okay. Down, not so much. Down proved to be a little bit of a trial, but we got there. But it was just it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, so. The dog can climb a ladder. That's
new adventures for Stella.
Yeah, she's
look, if you can pick football games with stunning accuracy,
right?
A ladder's not such
ladder
a big deal.
Ladder mean nothing.
Hey, also, we're going to talk about it on Good, Bad, and Ugly, but a pretty awesome night for your friend Eric Roy.
Yeah, how about that, huh? It was funny. It's not at all surprising. Like, I knew that... Like we had talked a little bit, and he had sort of implied that Cuban was maybe his target, like all along, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he's definitely certainly the Venn diagrams line up certainly
right.
A good deal more. But yeah, I thought Eric was great. He's very personable on camera, I posted something, alluded to something like this on social media. It was more important for him. That Barbara Corcoran like understand the facts than for him to actually like finish this deal for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
So it's just like, yeah, it's just very on brand for Eric. Like that's just, he's very passionate about what he does. And it's great. Like he's in the, they continue along in the process of due diligence and all that stuff. Like he was saying, he's like, it's gonna bring a lot of positive attention to the work that he's doing. So I think
Definitely.
That's pretty great.
Very cool. All right, you saw a couple of movies this weekend. Where do we begin?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, I saw a couple. Neither of them were particularly great.
Okay.
I wouldn't go so far as to call either of them a bad movie, but it was a... It was not a great weekend for Hollywood this past weekend, which played out at the box office because I believe Shazam stayed at the top of the heap for a second week in a row, which tells you pretty much everything you need to know about both Hellboy and Little. So, I could go with either one. Do you have a preference?
I don't know much about Little, so let's start with that.
Okay, let's go with Little. It's funny too because I didn't realize that I needed more sort of big oriented remakes, but I got one with Shazam last week, and then I get another one this week. So it's basically instead of big but superheroes, it's big but reversed.
Oh,
so Little is basically it's the story of a woman by the name of Jordan Sanders, played by Regina Hall. Self-made woman, business owner, runs a tech company in Atlanta, due to an unfortunate incident in her middle school days, she has sort of closed off herself from the world around her. It's all very much about being in charge and doing whatever it takes to get ahead. Bearing the brunt of a lot of that is her long-suffering assistant April, played by Issa Rae. And the two of them, basically, she's running this company, and she's got this huge client named a sort of trust fund millionaire by the name of Connor, played by SNL's Mikey Day, who has decided that he's going to take his business elsewhere. And so Jordan and her company have 48 hours to come up with the next great idea to keep this rich idiot on board. But wouldn't you know it, things get in the way. There's a donut truck in the parking lot, and the dude who runs the donut truck had to bring his young daughter with him because she wasn't in school or whatever. And in the course of Jordan being mean to someone, the little kid who considers herself to be an amateur magician pulls out her toy wand and basically lays a curse on Jordan Sanders about I wish you were little. That's the whole deal. And then she wakes up the next morning and boom, full Zoltar. Like she's her teenage self again. She's 13-year-old, her 13-year-old self again. Played by Massey Martin, who's she's on Blackish, the ABC show.
Yes, okay.
And hijinks ensue because she has to deal with due to nosy neighbors. She winds up with a visit from Child Protective Services. Great scene with Rachel Dratch, where she has to be enrolled in school, and so she has to go on to school, which hasn't changed all that much. In the time that since she's been there, and her assistant kind of has to take the reins at the company and try to put together this pitch, so that they can keep this rich client and stay in business, et cetera, et cetera. And there are some weird love interest things floating around as well, but that's basically the gist of it. So it's big, only in reverse. Yeah. It's fine. Like there are some pretty good jokes. There are some stretches that really work, and then there are some stretches that really kind of fall apart. It's too bad because there's the skeleton of a really entertaining movie here. And I was entertained, don't get me wrong. And the performances are great. The Martin kid, which it's funny because she apparently was the one who initially had the idea for the story. And she's credited as an executive producer. She's the youngest executive producer in Hollywood history is what I've heard. And she's great. Like it's one of those things where it's like, you can't make a movie like this if you don't have a phenomenal kid like at its center, because otherwise it's just not going to work. And she does a great job capturing Regina Hall's new, her mannerisms and all that stuff. It's really very good. And the other performances are great as well. But again, it just, I don't know, it feels uneven. The pacing is weird. You just wish it could have been it's like 85% of a really good movie. And so the end result is something where like it was entertaining enough, but you're just kind of wanting more.
All right. Well, let's talk about Hellboy. I love the original. Ron Perlman was awesome. And I want this one to be good because... David Harbour is a theater at Monmouth alum.
That's
so
right.
Want to see him do well, but a rough opening weekend box office.
Yeah, no, it's not a good movie, Rich. Which is too bad. And it's funny because the first movies, Hellboy and Hellboy 2: Golden Army, they predate the sort of superhero explosion. Because Hellboy came out in 2004, Golden Army was 2008, which is the same year that Iron Man came out, when the MCU kind of came into being. And those movies were very successful. However, it wasn't necessarily about the source material, although the source material is excellent. It was about the team of director Guillermo del Toro and star Ron Perlman. Like those two together are what made those movies what they were. And, Neil Marshall and David Harbour are both very talented, but they're not Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman. And that's unfortunately, that kind of leaves everybody in a little bit of a lurch. Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to lay more of the blame at the director's feet, I think. Quick rundown of the story. We start in the Dark Ages in England. King Arthur and Merlin are doing battle against the forces of darkness led by Nimue, the Blood Queen, played by Mia Jovovich. He winds up, King Arthur whips out Excalibur, just chops her right up, just chops her into a bunch of pieces, and puts all the pieces in boxes and sends them to various corners of you know, the British Isles, because that's what you did. That's what you do with blood queens. Like,
yeah, sure.
You know, it's like you're going to chop somebody's head off and it's going to keep talking to you. Yeah, you put it in a box and you bury it, and you hope that nobody puts the pieces together. Well, we get to the present day, and there's a scheme to put the pieces back together. And that's the scheme in which our titular hero, Hellboy, played by David Harbour, kind of gets thrust. He's part of a government bureau that investigates paranormal threats. His father is a professor there, played by Ian McShane, who's great because, you know, he's always great.
Yeah.
You know, he does various like paranormal policing type things. But he gets asked to join this English group called the Osiris Club to go hunt giants, because there are giants roaming the English countryside and they need to be destroyed.
Hmm.
But it turns out things are much more complicated than that. And then he gets sort of pulled into this scheme to resurrect the Blood Queen. In the course of things, he winds up encountering a now grown girl that he rescued from the Fae back when she was a baby, who's now a fairly powerful seer. And then you've got a secret agent who's also a werejaguar, played by Daniel Dae Kim. So it's this sort of unlikely trio against the forces of darkness. Oh, and before I forget, there's also a prophecy, because there's always a prophecy.
Yes, of course.
And the prophecy is that Hellboy is going to bring about the end of days, and so they've got that to worry about as well.
Wow, a lot going on.
Yeah, involving giant horns and riding dragons and a flaming sword and just all sorts of really just nasty business. Things play out about how you'd expect. Look, it's a mess. Like, it's like tonally, it's like they really lean into the hard R kind of rating. There's a lot of sort of gratuitous gore. Like, I'm not squeamish about that sort of thing. Like, you want to split some heads and show me some viscera, like, I'm all for it. But like, there's such a thing as it just, when it feels unnecessary, it's just like, okay, like, I mean, yeah, okay, we're pulling this dude, we're splitting this guy down the y-axis, great. But, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff falling out, and it's all, it's very CGI, and that's, that's too bad. I will say, Harbour's great. Like, he's really, and it's funny, because I wondered about this, because part of his whole thing is he's got this great sort of, like, slovenly dad charisma that he really has a great knack for using to full effect, and I just worried that it would get buried under the prosthetics and all the CGI nonsense and all that stuff, and it really shines through in a way that I didn't expect. And so the attitude he has and brings to the character, it's great, because it's very respectful of what Perlman did with the character, but not at all like mimicry or any sort of imitation. Like, it's very much its own thing, which is tough to do when you have a character, especially one that's sort of so, that has a very specific and kind of iconic look, to be able to create something that feels of its own is really impressive. And Harbour does a great job with that. Jovovich is fine. Like, she's someone that's very hit or miss for me, but if you're going to have her in your movie, like, let her be like nothing. Like, she can't do anything that even remotely resembles being a normal person, because I don't buy it.
Right.
But if you want her to be like a crazy weirdo, that usually works, and it works here. The rest of the cast, like, McShane is great because he's always great. The rest of the cast is fine. The performances are good. But again, it's just, it all feels very like leaden. Like, there's no real buoyancy to it. Like, and one of the things that was so great about the first Hellboy movies was that they were funny. Like, and there are a couple of spots in this movie where they sort of try to attempt that same sort, and it just kind of falls a little bit flat. It doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel honest. It doesn't feel earned. And so what you get is a movie that, you know, while it has its moments of, sort of aesthetic interest, it mostly feels like just sort of a dry, flat kind of CGI, like, just sort of slog. And there's not a lot of spirit to it, not a lot of soul. Mm. And, without that, like, you know, it's just, you're you don't really connect with the characters the way, or the story the way that you're supposed to. And when you don't do that, what you wind up with is something that's just kind of dull.
Yeah. Well, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But again, like I said, not David Harbour's fault.
There you go. Alan Adams talking movies on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you. Oh, I want to mention, too, and we'll talk about it again, Wednesday. Holy cow, where'd the time go? Friday night, the focus group celebrates our 10th anniversary. Are you kidding me?
10 years. It's unbelievable, right?
Nuts.
Yeah. It's funny. It might feature prominently in this week's Main Edge as far as that goes, that particular story. But yeah, it's great to, it's crazy to think about like where we were, you know, 10 years ago as a group. Like, you know, there were some, you know, marriages, and there have been babies, like so many babies.
A lot of babies. I mean, not during the show.
Well, no. Well, maybe once or twice. So we've had some babies, some marriages have happened. Like, it's just, you know, and people have moved onward and upward and downward and sideward. And it's been a really long, strange trip.
But many of them are coming back as well.
It's true. We've got a handful of sort of focus group emeriti making their return. Sam Kirkendall, who's I know is a favorite of pretty much everybody who's ever been on a stage with him. He's returning, along with, some potential others, some folks who aren't necessarily confirmed yet. But we also have some folks that we've played with in the past who are joining us as special guests. Jen Shepherd and Lawrence Fingerhut from Improv Acadia, Amy Rader, also a longtime Improv Acadia performer. They're joining us to come play. It's going to be like, I don't know, there's going to be like 15 people on the stage. It's going to be an absolute circus. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope people will come out and celebrate with us. It's this Friday, Next Generation Theater. Believe it or not, price is the same, $5.
There you go. All right. Fantastic. Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
We'll see you Wednesday. I hear Stella's driving home. Yet another new skill.
Yes, we're working on broadening her horizons.
Fantastic.